Hello, I'm Maurice Powell. Welcome to A Little Light Music, Manx Radio's regular Thursday evening classical music hour. Now, I think I've got an absolute corker of a programme for you tonight. There won't be very much British light music in the programme. We had a full programme of that last week when we were sort of remembering the excellent work of the conductor Ronald Corp in a whole series of his pieces. So we're going to move away from that, but we do have some lighter classical pieces. I see on the programme a little Chopin, some Mozart, and some Nielsen, Carl Nielsen, the Danish composer. So, quite a bit to look forward to. Let's start with a sparkling overture by Domenico Cimarosa. Now then, you've possibly never seen an opera by Cimarosa. He was a contemporary of Haydn, Mozart and Beethoven and was immensely successful. His opera, The Secret Marriage, came out just a couple of months after Mozart's death. In February 1792, it was first performed, and it was an outstanding hit. It was heard all over. And I've actually played in a performance of it once about 20 years ago, and it's really very, very good. If you like Mozart's Così fan tutte and Marriage of Figaro, you'd certainly like Cimarosa's The Secret Marriage. Very amusing, lovely music. However, we're not concerned with secret marriages. We're going to hear an overture from 1794-5 for an opera called Penelope, which he wrote for the Naples Teatro d'Alfonso di Coletta. Know it well. It was written for the carnival scene of that year, and it was the hit of the carnival season, and it was very quickly heard in Livorno, Lisbon, London at the King's Theatre, and so on. This overture requires some virtuoso horn playing. So whoever the horn players were, or the principal horn player of the Naples Teatro d'Alfonso di Coletta, he was quite clearly a very considerable player. Cimarosa, the overture to his opera, Penelope.
Thank you.
was the overture to Cimarosa's opera Penelope, written in 1794 to 5 for the theatre in Naples. Now, as I say, the principal horn player there was certainly a virtuoso, but generally speaking, Italian orchestras in the 18th century, and more particularly in the 19th century, had a very poor reputation, particularly amongst German composers and musicians. They're all thought to be a bit rough and ready, but perhaps that's because they had to perform so many operas, different ones in quick succession, that the rehearsal time was very short, so performances were always a bit dubious. Anyway, that was an attractive enough overture. I'm trying to work out how many operas Cimarosa wrote. It must be 60 or so. They won't all be masterpieces by any means, but I bet there's a dozen that are well worth reviving. Anyway, so we've got plenty of Cimarosa overtures in the future, if that doesn't put you off. Right, some solo piano music. Now, there are two genres of music that I used to play a lot, but very rarely turn to these days. One is songs, whether it's German Lieder, French chanson, or the English songs. I very rarely take a disc off the collection and play them. And solo piano music, although I used to listen to quite a lot. I very much like the sonatas of Haydn, Mozart, Beethoven, Schubert, of course, and the piano music of Brahms. I'm not very keen on Liszt, to tell you the truth, but Chopin, of course, I used to listen a lot. Not so much these days. Don't know why that is. So let's put that right, at least on this programme. I'm going to play the first of Chopin's wonderful nocturnes. This is the one in B-flat minor, Opus 9, number 1. Chopin didn't invent the nocturne. It's said to be the Irish composer John Field, whose nocturnes are lovely and quite Chopinesque if you listen to them. He lived, was working really a couple of decades before Chopin, but his music is very, very attractive. He wrote some lovely piano concertos as well. That's John Field. So, Chopin, Nocturne number 1, B-flat minor, played for us this evening by Maria Tipo. Thank you. Chopin's Nocturne No. 1 in B-flat minor, Opus 9 No. 1, played for us by Maria Tipo. And I promise I will introduce a little bit more solo piano music, even an occasional song in future programmes. Mustn't neglect these things. And now to a little Mozart. Always welcome, and I do play Mozart reasonably frequently, but there's so much of it, it's very easy to find an attractive movement here and there. There's a bit of a mystery about this next piece, though. In 1788, Mozart was in Paris, looking for employment, and basically not finding it. But whilst he was there, he met four of Europe's finest wind players, Wendling, the flute player, Rahm, the oboist, Punto, the horn player, and Ritter, the bassoonist. They were all in Paris at the time. Giovanni Punto, was a great horn player, and many historians think he was probably the greatest player who ever lived. Anyway, Mozart was in Paris with these four musicians. They asked him to write a concerto or a concertante for them, which he did. It was scheduled to be played at a concert of the Concert Spirituel. Mozart handed the score over to the entrepreneur Le Gros, and then nothing happened. Mozart became very suspicious and thought there was a bit of a cabal against him, because a very similar work was programmed instead of his by another composer called Cambini, and Mozart felt there was a bit of skullduggery going on here to push his piece out in favour of this other one. Nobody really knows, except the work disappeared. Mozart wrote to his father and said, no matter that the work wasn't performed and the score is lost, as soon as I get back to Salzburg, I'll write it out again from memory. But of course, he never did. Around 1850, a concertante for four wind instruments, supposedly by Mozart, suddenly turned up, but for a different few instruments. The original one was going to be for flute, oboe, horn, bassoon, and this one, from over a century later, was for oboe, clarinet, horn, and bassoon. It had Mozart's name attached to it and was considered to be a genuine work of Mozart by all the pundits, by musicians, conductors, musicologists, appeared in all the catalogues and was accepted as a work by Mozart. Until about 30 years ago, when musicologists, particularly American Robert Levin, began to look at it more closely and realised what we all should have realised decades ago, was that some of it wasn't actually very good. The solo wind writing wasn't quite up to Mozart's usual standard, and some of the orchestral accompaniment was very poor indeed. Robert Levin came to the conclusion that a set of parts for the original instruments somehow survived in Paris and ended up probably in Paris again nearly 100 years later. The work was then adapted for a different group of instruments, and some of the parts were simplified, quite considerably altered. And then somebody, either a publisher's hack or an unknown composer, fashioned an orchestral accompaniment around these parts. Well, Robert Levin himself did a lot of exploration on this particular piece and never managed to actually track down who was responsible for the 19th century version, but he did his own reconstruction of how he imagined the original work for flute, oboe, horn and bassoon might have sounded with an appropriate Mozart accompaniment. And it's very, very effective and has been recorded a number of times. Here then is the slow movement, the Adagio, from Mozart's Lost, if I can put it that way, concertante for flute, oboe, horn, bassoon and orchestra.
Thank you.
the Adagio from what might have been Mozart's Sinfonia Concertante for flute, oboe, horn and bassoon, supposedly written in Paris in 1778, but then disappeared and reimagined by the musicologist Robert Levin, quite convincingly, I feel. Now, to a composer who has never appeared in this series at all, it's the Parisian composer, Michel Legrand. Now, I'm going to play the first movement of his piano concerto, which was introduced to me by my good friend Philip Smith in Ramsey. Philip and I get together as often as we can and we listen to music, swap CDs and generally talk about music. And they're very happy occasions. I mean, there are very few people in the world you can really talk about music to and who will actually sit down and listen to something if you say, right, Philip, listen to this. And, of course, I reciprocate. He often lends me some very interesting discs. And this is one of the most interesting I've come across in quite a while. Now, Michel Legrand, of course, is known really as a composer of soundtracks, musicals, songs. He was a jazz pianist and a singer and a composer of film scores. But he did also write some more sort of what you might call conventional classical pieces. I'm going to play the first movement of his piano concerto. It's a very interesting piece and very unusual. What can I say? When I first heard it, I thought a little bit of Gershwin, possibly a little bit of Leonard Bernstein, but then I got a distinct feeling that Bartok was lurking in the background, and also the French composer Poulenc. Perhaps that's not quite so surprising. But if you think it's going to be a bit of a hotchpotch, a bit of this and a bit of that, you'd be wrong. It actually sort of melds together very well. There's a definite musical personality here in this piece by Michel Legrand, and I think it's very attractive. Anyway, this is just the first movement. It's only about 7.5 minutes. So if you absolutely hate it, you could put the kettle on. But honestly, I couldn't advise it. Michel Legrand, the first movement of his piano concerto.
Thank you.
and I allowed the music to fade there into what would become the slow movement. Michel Legrand's Piano Concerto. Well, what did you think? I quite enjoyed it. I mean, it's very dramatic. I don't really get the feeling that it would make good film music. I think it's a genuine, sort of authentic, classical piece. I'm still reminded a little bit of Poulenc and the rhythmic vitality in some of the scoring of someone like Leonard Bernstein. But I have to look into it a little bit more. I confess I know very little about Michel Legrand. I virtually never listen to film music, except when it's part of a film, of course. But I will come back to that. He also wrote a very interesting cello concerto and much else as well. So we shall return to him. And thank you to my colleague there, Philip Smith, for introducing me to that very interesting piece. Now, we need something a little different, I think, after that. Here is some music by Coleridge Taylor. It's part of his Petite Suite de Concert. This is Demand and Response.
Thank you.
Demand and Response from Samuel Coleridge Taylor's Petit Suite de Concert. A lovely piece. Reminds me of the music of Ticatelby a little bit. Sort of mildly romantic in feeling. Very attractive. Now to the music of Carl Nielsen and two dances from the incidental music he wrote for a play about Aladdin in February 1919, which was performed at the Copenhagen Royal Theatre. Nielsen's music doesn't appear very much in this series. In fact, hardly at all, really. I've maybe played one piece. But he was a very prolific composer. He wrote, I think, five symphonies, maybe six. I know two of them quite well, and they're very interesting, wonderful pieces. And concertos, one for flute, one for clarinet, and a violin concerto, and a number of other pieces as well, including operas, one of which, I can't remember the name of it now, is extremely funny. I actually saw it once. So there is music of Nielsen. We shall return to it, I think, in a later programme, because there are some lovely lighter pieces in his repertoire. So from the music then from Aladdin, here is the Hindu dance followed by the Chinese dance.
Thank you.
Two dances there from the incidental music to the play Aladdin by Carl Nielsen. And that really brings us more or less to the end of the programme. Just got time for someone to play us out with, and I shall return to one of the discs conducted by Ronald Corp, who we learned a good deal about last week. It's going to be Henry Balfour Gardiner's Shepherd's Fennel Dance, written in 1911 and apparently inspired by a short story called The Strangers by Thomas Hardy. I didn't know that. Please join me next week. I have no idea yet what's going to be in the programme, but there'll certainly be plenty of light music and maybe one or two surprises. So please join me then. All it remains for me to say is, well, good night, goodbye if you like, and happy listening. Henry Balfour Gardiner's Shepherd's Fennel Dance. Goodbye.